if you're sedentary, let's just get you moving. Let's go for walks. Let's eventually add in some body weight workouts. Once those are easy and you're not really feeling sore anymore, let's add some bands. Once the bands are good and you're feeling comfortable, let's get you in the gym. That's going to be a big step. You're not going to like it. It's going to cause discomfort. But discomfort's also where you grow mentally and physically. And so once you're in the gym, we don't even need to strength train. I just want you to ride the bike and I just want you to watch people on the machines and just learn how they do it.
Hey ladies, so today's episode is really going to be about mindset around calories and food and dieting. And I am joined by Joe Hoy Fit. I have to say his name exactly like that so I don't mess up the pronunciation. But he is a fitness trainer. He's the owner of Hoy Fit, and he typically works with women who are 40 plus. So, you know, heading into like the perimenopause, menopause, and really working with them on ditching the diets and regaining control over their nutrition. And it's a really good conversation. I just want to put a big disclaimer because I want you to walk into this episode with the mind of how we presented it. So we have to laugh a lot because it can get really personal when you're talking about all of these things. But we talk a lot about calories here, and we talk about really understanding calories and how to know when you're under eating and when you think you're under eating, but maybe you're actually overeating. And when should we be looking at hormones, and are hormones the culprit for weight loss? And when are hormones not the culprit? And we just have to really take that hard look in the mirror and be like, okay, so it's actually really not hormones. I just actually really need to stop under eating, or maybe I need to realize that what I think I'm doing with my calories, I'm not actually doing. And I know that for someone who may have been struggling with weight loss for a really long time, this can be a tricky episode to listen to. So I just want you to walk in listening with the same approach that we have, which is really just bring awareness. Like, we have all fallen into this trap. We talk about that. Me and Joe both talk about how, like, yeah, what we thought we were doing, what we were actually doing were two different things. And sometimes we had to take an outside perspective, go find somebody else to help us in what was going on with our health and our health journey. And whenever we're talking about weight, I know that this can be a very touchy subject. So I really invite you to listen to this with an open mind and come from the place of how we meant it, which is really bringing awareness. Just take that bird's eye view. Take the bird's eye view for this episode, and I'd love to know your thoughts. Welcome to the Balancing Hormones Naturally podcast. This is your podcast host, Leah Brueggemann. I am a functional diagnostic nutritional practitioner. Here you are going to get actionable steps you can take today to start balancing your hormones naturally so that you can maximize your menstrual cycle for painless periods, more energy, and weight loss. Learn my three secrets to balancing hormones naturally. Just go to freehormonetraining.com and save your spot. Let's dive on in. All right, ladies, we are here with Joe Hoy, and we are going to be talking about diets and how they kind of have messed up maybe your progress with health and fitness and all the things that you're wanting to do. So you already heard his intro, so we're not going to dive deep into that. But I want to start right in, Joe, if you don't mind telling us, are there certain diets that are more harmful than others? Like, I feel like fad diets are just, there's a new one every year, at least one every year.
Yep, you nailed it. And yeah, I would say there's probably some diets that are worse than others, right? Like, if we're looking at something like a Mediterranean diet, it's still encouraging some form of balanced nutrition. But when we start taking away complete food groups like carbs or fats or protein or something, like, that's not good. Also, I think that any diet that is massively restrictive is not good for you, right? And we have to look at good for you in two different ways. Physically, right? Like, your physical health, this is not going to serve your body, but also mentally. Like, when you start labeling foods as good and bad, you start doing bad things to your head. And we have diets to thank for a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm sure you see this all the time, but I feel like a big part of what we do with clients for like the first half of working together is carbs are not evil. No, fat is not evil. No, fiber is not evil. No, all of these things have a time and a place, you know, because they've come from keto, they've come from carnivore, they've come from, I don't know, fasting, where let's just try not eating at all. And it's, it really can get to you. But if like you've been on a weight loss journey for a really long time, it's like, if someone says something works, you kind of are just like, sure, let's try it.
We're doing the same thing, right? Before we even dive into making real visible progress, we're working on what's up here, and we're erasing all of what I call the food noise, right? Like, I can't have this or else I'm bad. So that alone is one part of coaching that you and I both go through regularly, but it's really hard to explain to our clients before they turn into clients that this is a win that they're going to experience, right? Nobody truly knows how impactful it is until they wake up one day and they're like, you know what? I have complete and utter control and freedom over the choices I make and how I feel about them after. And that alone removes so much stress from somebody's day-to-day life that I believe physical progress starts to happen from that naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're so stressed about food, obviously stress is going to cause inflammation in the body. And it's just this, it's this whole thing. And I think that when you start getting so like caught up about food, you tend to really start undernourishing your body, you know, because it's, you're so scared of all of these different foods that you just end up not getting the things in that you need. So let's say like if someone has been fad dieting, or even let's just not call it fad dieting, because I think that can be like triggering to people. Sure. And they're like, I was not fad dieting. Let's say they've been dieting for quite a long time. What are some first steps, some things you would say like, hey, this is where we really need to start to kind of like rework this relationship with food?
So the very first place I like to go is to share, like if I'm on a Zoom call with a client, I like to pull up my screen and share it with them and show them our TDEE calculator. And I walk them through what I'm doing and what's happening. So it's like, hey, this is your age, height, weight, gender, activity level. What this number you're about to see is a educated guess based on how much food you should be eating day to day in order to not lose weight and in order to not gain weight, but to simply maintain. And most of the women we work with, they're eating 800, 1,000, 1,200 calories. And yeah, and they're still not losing weight. And so I prepare them for this before I hit that enter button and it creates the little number below. And they're like, okay, okay, I understand what's happening. I'm like, all right, now the number you see is going to be big. So I'll hit enter and it's like 1,800, 2,000, 2,400 calories. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, that's not right. You did something wrong. I'm like, no, that is right. And so imagine if you could have twice as much food as you're currently eating every day and still maintain. Mm-hmm. What would you do differently? Like, well, I'd probably have the brownie and I probably wouldn't feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. And I'd still probably be able to hit my protein goals and have carbs and fat and be good to go. I'm like, right. Mm-hmm. And by the way, when you eat that much, you're also just going to feel better. And so walking them through what's actually possible when you nourish your body rather than deprive it is generally the first step I like to go.
Yeah. It's so hard sometimes though, if they've been doing it for a really long time, to let go of like that. Because when you, I'm sure you probably do some type of like reverse diet to get them up there. You know, there's that wiggle room of your body adjusting to like, oh, you're going to keep feeding me. We're not going into a famine. Like for a while, like your body for like a couple weeks and sometimes a month or so is like, are you sure you're going to keep feeding me? Like it won't let go of that stress response because this has been going on for years. This is a purely curiosity question. Do you ever have like women who come in and are tracking and it's like tracking is just like wildly off? In terms of like, they think they're eating XYZ, like, I don't know if they use Fitness Pal or any tracking app, but then when you actually look at the food, it's like, actually, this is a completely different number because you weren't calculating like the butter you're cooking with or the fats you're cooking with or the salad dressings or whatever it is. And I'm just curious about that because a couple times, like, I actually was like, I'm going to calculate exactly how much I'm eating today just from a curiosity standpoint. And I was like, oh, I realized that I measured out whatever I was going to eat. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to eat whatever's left on the spoon. Yeah. And you don't think about it. And you do that like six times throughout the day, or you add in extra whatever when you're cooking, you realize, oh, wow, I actually added a lot more fat to my day than I realized.
We see it frequently, right? Like we do have the ladies that I mentioned before where they're eating 1,000 or 1,200 calories. Actually, like that's actually how much they're eating. And then we have some that think they're eating that much, but based on probably a combination of two or three things, they're eating actually above their maintenance. So like 2,600, 3,000 calories. And then that's simple. We just drop into a deficit. But yeah, so we'll see exactly what you said. They'll add butter to grease the pan and just think that it doesn't go into the food. Like it's just grease. It's not used. They don't think that they're using calories, or they'll use a cooking spray. And if you turn around a cooking spray, for anybody listening, go grab one and do this because it's fun. Look at the serving size on that, right? The serving size of cooking spray is a quarter second spray.
Who counts? And
exactly. And then zero calories for that. But yeah. Two things on that. Nobody's spraying for a quarter second. That's going to grease like an inch of your pan. And yeah. Number two, the FDA is allowed to be up to 20% inaccurate on their nutrition facts. So that combination makes for a complete lie when you're like greasing your pan with spray. And then the other thing completely slipped my mind. So we're only going to mention two of the three. Sorry.
That's
guys.
Okay. We'll come back when we remember. So that's interesting, because then you kind of have two camps, and both of them, it's bringing awareness. Like there's really no harm in either one. It's just like simply bringing awareness. And I think it can be, I don't know. I'll let you talk about this. I feel like it can be a little bit kind of like scary if you're like, oh, I think I'm under eating and that's why I'm having all these issues. And then you actually calculate everything you're go, actually, I'm like 600 calories over because XYZ. And my realization with some of those things came just by like, I love nuts and nut butters. And I was just like, all nuts are created equal, right? But macadamia nuts and pecans are very different than almonds. So that was one of the moments when I go, oh, wow. So I should probably make this with almond butter if I want to eat six of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick, I'm going to go back because I remember number three. We will have people that track their food. And so what their version of tracking food is let's say they're using MyFitnessPal. They use the barcode scanner and they scan everything they eat. They just put in a serving and that's it. But they don't actually measure their food in terms of putting it on a scale or using measuring cups. And so tracking their food, like, yeah, they're tracking what they put in, but they're not accurately measuring the amount, and the amounts matter.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cause even like on the back of like granola, for example, like there's a brand that I love, Purely Elizabeth. And I was like, oh, it's a third of a cup a serving. Like that looks fine. And then I actually measured a third of a cup. And I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure I did two or three servings whenever I just eyeball it. I'm like, that's a third of a cup. No,
it's really not. Disappointing. I know.
Yeah, it's okay. But then I just have to eat more protein because that also was, you know, needed to be measured out a little bit too. Mm-hmm. So where do we start? Like if you've been on this trend for a while and you're like, okay, I don't really want to calculate after hearing you guys talk about that, because I don't really want to know which side of the tent I'm sitting on. Where do people start?
So if you are someone thinking exactly what Leah just said, and you don't have a past, like a history of eating disorders or something, I'm going to give you some tough love, because as a coach, that's my job sometimes. And I'm going to say, tough luck. You have to do that, right? Because if you don't ever track what you're eating, you're never going to know how much of it you're eating. And any change in body composition comes down to manipulating your food intake. So you need to do that, but you don't need to do it forever, right? I tracked for 3 years and I lost the weight that I didn't want. And now I'm pretty damn happy and I don't need to track and I'm really good at eyeballing. My coaches that work under me, same thing, except for one, because she's a freak and still likes to track. If that's you, that's fine. and then my clients are the same way, right? They don't need to track forever, but in order to reach a goal, they need to become aware of how much they're eating and what actual portions look like. The second part to this is we have a method that I've coined the diet detox. And really what that is, it's just two really trendy words that I stuck together, right? Everybody loves diets. Everybody loves detoxes. I personally don't like either, but if we put them together, I really like it. And so what that is, It's a combination of fixing what's inside your mindset in terms of food and your relationship with food, and then also detoxifying your body from the damage that past diets have done. Like you and I touched on earlier, Leah, people have undereaten for so long, their body's in this starvation / survival mode, and we need to bring them out of it. And so that portion of a diet detox, just nourishing the body rather than starving it, is a fancy way of saying you need a reverse diet, which is giving your body what it needs to really function the way that it should be and should have been for years. So we'll give your body what it needs in terms of calories, protein, carbs, fat, just nutrients in general, and we'll give your mind what it needs in order to feel free and understand that you can have a Twix bar and still be successful. Whether you're in a reverse diet, in a weight loss phase, in a maintenance phase, you can do whatever you want, but you need to know how to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you say to like people then who are just, they feel hungry all the time?
Give me an example, because I think there's a couple different routes this could go.
Well, it's one, I feel like when I hear people are hungry all the time, I'm always like, do you have parasites? I always want to know that. But completely back off topic, just on food. When people are saying like, I ate my maintenance, like what I should eat for lunch or for dinner, but I feel like I'm just hungry all the time, or I'm thinking about food all the time. When's my next meal? When am I going to do this? Because I hear that a lot from people who start tracking, is that all of a sudden like food becomes like, it's hard to say like, am I hungry or am I just thinking about my next meal? Because all of a sudden I'm paying attention to this.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm going to break this into three categories again. Hopefully I remember all three. number one is I would ask what this person's meals and snacks are comprised of, right? Is it really low quality food that is high in calories and low in nutrients, right? AKA it's not going to be filling. So yeah, you're going to hit your calorie goal, but your body is going to burn through that energy and you're going to feel hungry quickly, right? And so if that's the case, we simply need to change what your meals are made of, right? Let's add a little bit more protein. Let's add a little bit more greens or fibers. That's going to help keep you more full. The next thing is if you're eating at maintenance and you got your maintenance number off of what I said earlier, a TDEE calculator, you'll notice I said one thing. It is an educated guess of what your maintenance should be. It is not gospel. Like, it's not 100% true. Sometimes we find that a lady's maintenance is lower than TDEE. Sometimes we find it's hundreds of calories above it. And so if you're simply eating at your TDEE maintenance, you might not be. You might be able to jump up another 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 calories and still not gain weight. So I would tell you to test that. Increase your calories by 100 for the next 2 weeks and then see what the scale says. Did it go up? Well, you might have been at your maintenance. Did it stay the same? Let's bump it up again and keep doing that until you find that the scale goes up, and then you'll find that sweet spot. That can be super helpful. And I really jinxed myself because that third one is gone.
I'm going to write these down. So something that I can see happening with women is that, like, that sounds utterly terrifying. Like for mm-hmm. them, because are you at that point, that's also now changing that relationship with the scale. Like the scale is now a tool that they're using for feedback, not necessarily a punishment of like, oh, you went out this weekend, you therefore should starve for the next week because you gained 3 pounds of water weight, which... Can we actually just jump on that for a second? Because sure. Someone said the other day, like, I gained 5 pounds. I literally gained 5 pounds. And I was like, no, you didn't. Physically impossible. Physically impossible. Like, I know the scale said that, but like, your muscles hold on to water. Maybe you're just holding on to water because progesterone is up during this time. But like, actual weight, as in fat, mm-hmm. physically impossible to happen in that time frame. Unless you ate like, I don't know, 10,000 calories a day.
Probably more. Yeah, so I was going to like push back on you until you said one sentence. You couldn't have actually gained weight as in fat, right? Like this person gained weight. She got heavier on the scale. But who cares, right? Because if this person gained 5 pounds of muscle, she'd probably be pretty damn happy because she would look more toned and defined. If this person gained 5 pounds of water, which I'm guessing she did, she can lose that just as fast as she gained it. So who cares? But if she gained 5 pounds of fat, yeah, she should probably be worried. But you and I both know that she absolutely didn't, because we understand that you need to eat 3,500 calories extra in order to gain a pound. And so if she did that over a weekend, she gained 5 pounds. I'm really bad at math, but 5 times 3,500 is like probably 17 or 18,000 calories.
Yeah, I'm also bad at math, so I won't be checking you.
Somebody check me. I think I'm pretty proud of that. I think that's correct. But like, there's no way somebody's going to eat that much food.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's just talking them off the ledge, which again is why having a coach is great, because if you do this mm-hmm. on your own, man, you're your own worst enemy more than you're not. And you're going to start telling yourself these terrible things like, oh, why do I even bother? I'm so bad at this. This happens every time. And if this happens every time, the same thing's going to happen next. I'm just going to fall off. So I might as well quit now. But if you have a coach to talk you off the ledge, like me or Leah or someone else, we can talk that sense in you and be like, look, it's going to be gone in 3 days. Mm-hmm. But for now, what I want you to do is X, Y, Z. And like, give them the tools, give them the tips, be there for them. And that's how you succeed, is by having some support.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you need to, I know I talk about having coaches all the time and people are like, you need a coach for like every aspect of your life. And I'm like, you kind of do.
Kind of do. If you want to be good, if you want to get better.
Because it's like, if you look at the most successful people in all these different areas, like they have coaches. Because your mind is your own worst enemy. And like, I teach brain rewiring and mindset all the time. And I still have somebody that checks me once a week and is like, hey, like you need to do X, Y, Z, because it's so easy to like get caught up in your own mind. And especially when you're dealing with something like weight loss, you know, where it's your body, you know, what you're walking out into the world with. It's very easy if you've been trying to do something for a really long time to just really have a like a skewed idea of like what reaching those goals really looks like, you know, because I'm sure you probably see this where women will come in and it's like, well, actually you don't really need to lose weight. You just need to put on muscle. That like what you're saying, this is what you want, but it's not coming out in your words that way.
It's such a hard conversation. And so you got to give them what they want in order to get them what they need. And it's hard, right? Because, I mean, especially for me, I don't know if it's easier to hear coming from another woman. I have my guesses. But I think for me, a 30-year-old man, when I talk to a 40, 50, 60-year-old woman, I'm like, hey, you got to go to the gym and do just about the same thing I do. They look at me like I'm crazy. Like, what do you mean? Like, I see you with like hundreds of pounds on your back. I don't want to do that. I don't want to look like you. I'm like, all right, no, you don't need to squat as much as me, but you do need to squat and you do need to gain muscle, but you're not going to gain as much muscle as me. And by the way, it took me 17 years to do this. Like, you know, if you get too strong, you can simply stop, but muscle is what you need. Yeah, it's just a hard conversation.
I think, though, with women being scared of the gym, like, I do not think that women understand how much in, like, a surplus you need to be eating to put on that kind of muscle. And also, we physically don't have enough testosterone to do that either. So it's just not going to happen. It's not. So, like, you really don't have to worry about it. It's just physically impossible.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, not to say that you can't gain a serious amount of muscle, but you have to work hard. And like you just said, Lee, you have to eat a lot. My partner eats, 2,800 calories a day, and she's 5'3". Like,
yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. Is she like looking to like make some massive muscle gains here?
She has a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
She's a strong girl. Yeah. But I mean, like, that's our life. She's a health coach as well. This is her passion. And she, I would say, probably works harder than me in the gym. So good for you. Like, well earned. I don't see a lot of people doing that. So they're not going to get that result.
Yeah. You have to put that effort in. That's what I feel like when I'm breastfeeding, like completely off topic, but like you literally are burning so many extra calories by literally just breastfeeding. And then when I am enough postpartum that I start working out, it's even more. I feel like all I do in that phase is eat. because you're burning so much. And then if I'm working out at the same time and I don't want to lose my milk supply, I'm just like, so much food. It's a full-time job.
It is, right? Especially because what you just said, that last part, you don't want to lose your milk supply. Like if you have your calories too low, your body is just going to stop.
I bet you brush your teeth every morning. I know I brush my teeth every morning and I brush them every single night. And something that I changed over in my wellness holistic routine a long time ago was toothpaste. I didn't want fluoride in my toothpaste, but I also really wanted to not get cavities. And I also really wanted my breath to smell good. And I also really wanted my teeth to be whitened by my toothpaste and all of the things. I was asking a lot of my toothpaste. And I would get one or the other, but I could never get all of them in the same toothpaste until I tried wellness toothpaste, which if you haven't tried them, you're going to want to after this. So I use the Fresh Mint Whitening Toothpaste from Wellness, and I've been using them for years. This is not something new to me, but I'm so happy that they're partnering with us. They are fluoride free and they use a naturally occurring mineral that makes your tooth enamel stronger, basically. So it's a non-toxic version of fluoride and it's called hydroxyapatite. I'm sorry, you guys, that word kills me every time, but I'm getting better at it. And the reason why I chose wellness over others is because they have small particle hydroxyapatite, not nano. And the reason why is I don't actually want nano because I don't want it crossing that blood-brain barrier. So I want small particle. And it's actually very rare to find this in toothpaste. They either just don't have it or they have nano. And I don't want nano. So took me a while, but I found it. Wellness is amazing. They have small particle, like I said. They also have aloe vera that eliminates disease-causing bacteria. And they have green tea powder, which helps combat bad breath. And it eliminates all of the gross bacteria that you don't want in your mouth, which is important because our gut microbiome starts in our mouth. It starts with our oral microbiome. So I use the Fresh Mint. You will actually notice a difference in the whitening in your teeth. And my kids use the strawberry and they love that one. I also have their floss, which is great. So you have to go through their link to get the discount. But if you just go to wellness.com/Leah, you'll be able to get up to 20% off your whitening toothpaste. So that's wellnesse.com/Leah. Go through the link and you will be able to grab your toothpaste. Yeah, I agree. So what got you into this? I'm curious, like why talk about like with women, like repairing that mindset with dieting versus just like being a weight loss coach?
Yeah, the million-dollar question. So, I mean, most people ask, why does this 30-year-old work with women 40, 50, 60 and older, right? Because we don't help anyone else. These are the only people that I serve. And it kind of started back when I was 13 years old, growing up in my mom's house. It was just her and I most of the time. She had a partner that was in and out of the house and then stepbrothers that were in and out of the house. And she was really just my strongest, most consistent role model. At the age of 13, she saw me going down the wrong path. Number one, I was starting to hang with the wrong kids, doing the wrong stuff, make stupid decisions. And then I was also starting to get picked on in school. And she saw that and she's like, hey, I'm going to go to the gym. I know you already got your homework done. I know we had dinner together. You want to come with me? And it's like being picked on, being skinny, being unathletic, not being very good at school. I was like, yeah, like that makes sense to me. Everybody in the gym has confidence. They have muscles. They look like I want to look. I'm going to go. And so it helped me there. It got me out of the bad path I was going down, but I could never really gain any weight. So I started at 13. I went frequently until I graduated high school, at which point I gained about 5 to 10 pounds. So I went from 135 pounds to 145 at 5'11", super skinny kid, graduated, was still really skinny, went to college and started pursuing a career in the medical field. So I had to take courses on anatomy, physiology, kinesiology, just all the things that help transform the body. And I started applying that to myself. But at the same time, I also started drinking and partying because I was a dumb 18-year-old in college. So what else am I going to do? And so with that combination, I definitely gained some muscle, but I also gained a lot of fat. And I went from the 145 pounds I was when I graduated up to about 225. So I gained 80 pounds in about a year to a year and a half. Eventually kicked the partying, dialed in everything I knew from school, and got to where I am now, which is in good shape. Like I'm happy with myself. I'm confident. I feel great. I'm healthy. It's everything I wanted. And growing up in a small town, people started to notice and ask. And I had enough people asked where I was like, well, I think that I have something here. I was always a bit business oriented. And so I was like, if I can help people achieve a fun outcome and I can make some money doing it, that's great. So I start running these online weight loss challenges, thinking that I wanted to help people like me. Just young men feel more confident with their shirt off. And when I run this first 8-week fat loss challenge, I got a lot of signups after just kind of advertising it locally, but I never looked at who signed up. And on Sunday morning, when I opened up Zoom, the only faces staring back at me looked a whole lot more like my mom and way less like me. And I was like, well, this is weird. I wanted to help people like me. How did I get my mom? And I came to the conclusion that just having her as my role model growing up and spending most of my time with her, I learned to communicate in a way that resonated with her and people like her. So I just naturally attracted them. By the end of that 8 weeks, I had a ton of fun. They got massive results. And I was like, you know, I don't really care if this isn't what I wanted. This is what I like. So I'm going to keep doing it. And I wasn't making enough money to have that as my main job. So during all this, I get my job in surgery. I'm helping the doctor with surgery. And again, I get pushed in this direction. My job was to set up the OR for the doc. And then during the procedure, help him or her with just about anything they couldn't do with their own two hands. And they took me on this team of 7 that had the same job as me. It was myself and 6 other women. And they decided to take me and stick me inside the OB and GYN based rooms. And so again, I'm just forced over to you guys listening. And I was like, okay, here I am. Let's do this. And keep in mind, I'm running these weight loss challenges on the side. And the only people I'm helping are the same people that are on the operating room table. And I was like, okay, I can put 2 and 2 together. While I'm doing this, I can ask the doctor everything they learned because they're way smarter than me. I can be like, hey, doc, what could this lady have done proactively to avoid getting this procedure? Or how is this procedure going to affect her after? How is this going to affect her hormones? What is this going to do to her life? And so I won in both places. They thought I was just this, and they're not wrong, but they thought I was just this super caring guy. It's like, he wants to know everything about surgery. Secretly, I wanted to steal that information and bring it to my clients outside of it. And so that's kind of my 3-part story. Is number one, I want to thank my mom for just taking me down that bad path taking me off the bad path I was on. Because if not, like you and I promise, would not have been having this conversation today. Number two, I just really like coaching these people. And number three, I understand their body really well and I can create massive change.
Yeah. So I think that's interesting because you're heading into the women that are perimenopause, menopause. So like strength training is one of going to be their biggest weapons for bone health as they age. So what's that like getting them into the gym when like they've done cardio or walking?
Yeah, it's a journey, right? They don't sign up and we don't have them doing big compound movements right off the bat. They generally spend time in my free community first, get a feel for me and decide if they like me or not. And then they join. They mostly know when they join, like, all right, I understand Joe's way of doing this. I understand I'm probably going to do some strength training. And I'll just start them small and be like, hey, if you're sedentary, let's just get you moving. Let's go for walks. Let's eventually add in some body weight workouts. Once those are easy and you're not really feeling sore anymore, let's add some bands. Once the bands are good and you're feeling comfortable, let's get you in the gym. That's going to be a big step. You're not going to like it. It's going to cause discomfort. But discomfort's also where you grow, right? Mentally and physically. And so once you're in the gym, we don't even need to strength train. I just want you to ride the bike and I just want you to watch people on the machines and just learn how they do it. And once you get that, go do 3 machines and then go home and you won. And then do all the machines. And once you're comfortable on the machines, let's move to free weights. Once you're good on free weights, I'm going to start assessing your form and we're going to add in progressive overload. And it's just this very natural, easy progression. Before they know it, most of the time they freaking love strength training at the end. Like you can't get them out. And it's just so good to see.
Yeah. So this sounds like it's not like a week or a month. This sounds like a couple months of like building things up steadily and slowly. So it's not like this is where you're going to get that lifestyle permanent change versus like, oh yeah, I lost 20 pounds in 1 month and it was great, but then it all came back.
Yeah. So that's one thing I say frequently. I probably don't say it enough, to be honest, but we're not the quick fix, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody here is listening and up until this point, right now in the conversation, like, I really like Joe, I really want to work with him. We're not the quick fix. And if you're looking for that, I don't want you to come to me. Mm-hmm. We're going to be the fix, the one that you don't need anything else after, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah. It takes some time. So, let's just say then that like someone is been doing the past diets, they are inactive, but at the same time, it's like, is this going to take over my life? Like making these changes, like tracking my food, doing my workouts, like, am I going to be able to make those meals for my family? Like, I don't want to start. This is too big of a challenge. Like, ooh, what do you say?
If it was too hard, we wouldn't have fit people, right? Like,
I'm sorry. I just continue.
That was a good one, huh? No, but honestly, like if this was hard, that time consuming, it just took up all of your time, nobody would do it. And the thing is, like the things that I'm going to ask you to do or the things that Leah, you probably ask people to do, they're not sexy, right? They're really simple. We have clearly figured it out. And because of that, we can help you to keep it simple in your life. We can help you to keep it insanely time efficient, right? And what I see most of the time is people spend less time doing this stuff and then have more time for whatever they enjoy because it's just so simple. It's like, do this. Here's how you're going to make your meals in less than an hour for the entire week and for your family. And you get to change the flavors every single day when you do that. By the way, that's going to give you so much time back. Here's how I would shop the grocery store. It's going to be cheaper. It's going to be faster. It's going to be easier. You know what? You've been going to the gym 5 or 6 days a week doing cardio. I actually want you to cut that in half to 3 days a week. You're going to spend the same amount of time there. You're just going to do different stuff. Like if we do that, they're getting more time back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. I just want to take a brief intermission here on a slightly different topic, because what we talk about very often on this podcast is like weight loss resistance due to like insulin resistance, hormonal imbalances. Maybe you're dealing with Lyme, maybe you're dealing with mold, maybe you're dealing with any of those things. And this episode is truly not to like discount that experience, because we have to fix those health issues. Like otherwise, like you can be calorie counting, you can be doing the things, but your body is literally not functioning the way that it needs to. This, like what we're talking about here is truly like, they're really like your hormones are good. Like we could optimize them a little bit more. We could do a little bit more here, but like, this is like, we need to make some lifestyle changes and really kind of, this is like my very hard, tough love wake up call moment where it's like, we actually just need to take a look in the mirror and be like, is it actually a hormonal thing here? Or is it actually a lifestyle change that I need to make? And sometimes that takes a little moment of tough love of looking in the mirror and actually being honest with yourself. And if you're like, actually, no, it is hormonal. I do actually have insulin resistance. I do have all of these things. And yes, I need to make those lifestyle changes, but I also need to work on this health component. Or no, it's simply a lifestyle change and I like cheesecake or something. I don't know. Cheesecake was just top of mind, so it came out.
Yeah, I didn't want to add on to this, but you definitely gave me permission with how you just wrapped this up in terms of like, you have to look in the mirror and be honest with yourself. Because you're right about every single thing you just said. There are people with insulin resistance and Lyme disease. I mean, Lyme disease specifically. Again, like if you have Lyme disease, I probably can't help. That's beyond me. And you need to do more. But at the same time, unless you have blood tests to prove it, if all you're going off of is speculation that I can't lose weight because of hormones, because of age, because of you name it, you have, and here's more harder, tough love. Leah, just mute me if you hate this.
Okay,
So you have no right to blame those until you dial in the simple foundational things of lifestyle, right? But if you're doing everything in lifestyle right, nutrition, exercise, sleep, stress management, and you're not losing weight, you are probably right. There's more going on. We need to figure it out, and we need to point you in the right direction of somebody that knows that thing well to help you. But you got to do this first.
Yeah. It's okay. We had an episode, I don't know what it was, like four episodes ago, where that was the whole episode was like, you feel like you're doing everything right, but you're not seeing results. And it's like, are we actually? That's the thing, you know, because sometimes, and I've been 100% guilty of this myself, where you think you're doing XYZ, but then you take a moment to actually track, you take a moment to take a bird's eye view, you take a moment to just hold yourself accountable for just a week. And honestly, what I see happen a lot, and a lot of this like goes hand in hand. Like when I see cravings out of control, when I see low energy, when I see all of those things, I also, my brain is going, okay, we need to work on glucose response. We need to work on blood sugar. Like it's not just, it isn't just calories in versus out. Like you have to pay attention to your quality and all the other aspects. But sometimes when you sit and you do that accountability and you look, you realize you are going, oh, this was just a bad day. I'm not typically like this. This was just a bad day. Oh, I just had to take the kids to soccer. Oh, this was an off day. And you realize that you said that 6 days out of the week. And you keep going, well, this is not my norm. And it's like, well, I know that it's not what you want your norm to be, but it actually just is the norm. And we can get so busy in actual life that it easily happens. And it's not that I think you're purposely trying to dissuade yourself or dislead yourself. It's just that we're kind of just lifing and you're living in that bubble and you're going and we're not paying attention. And I see that a lot. And I have been guilty of that myself.
Oh, we've all been guilty of it, right? I think that I'm going to speak for most coaches and say that most coaches have been guilty of it. And that's why we're coaches, because we're like, we've been there, we get it, but we've overcome it and we're not special. So if all of that is true, the same can be true for you, and we want to help people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sometimes it's just, you know, hard accountability, and it can go either way. You know, it's like maybe we've been chronically under eating and we need to like stop doing that, and we need to nourish our bodies, because also chronically under eating, I will tell you, your blood tests will come back and they will say your hormones are screwy, you know? And so then we're just not setting ourselves up for success there. And we talk about that a lot in this podcast, is just set yourself up for success, you know, make it easier. So do you have any last parting words? I was going to say of tough love, because that's what the trend we seem to be on right now.
Do you want to offend anyone one more time?
No, not really.
No, I don't think I do. I just want to take a second and thank you, right, for having me on the show. It's really clear when you have a conversation with somebody that is a good coach or a bad coach, right? And it simply comes from how they talk and how honest they are, right? And I think it's really clear, like, if listeners, if you can't tell, Leah knows what she's doing, number one, and she cares. Because the people that care are often the ones that say the things you don't want to hear, but you need to hear. So I just want to thank you.
Yeah, 100%. Where can all of the ladies find you? Where are you on the socials? Which, so, you said 40 and above is your audience, which is actually my audience is typically younger, but we'll see who's spying in there, because we get asked for a lot of perimenopause episodes, so they're probably like lurking.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we have the whole age range covered together. That's awesome. So I'm very searchable. You can just type in Joe Hoy, which my name's probably going to be in the episode title. Facebook, Instagram, my website is hoyfit.com. And Leah, if it's okay with you, I would like to offer something special to one listener of the audience. Cool. So for anyone that we haven't offended yet, and really wants to change and is okay with learning and growing and becoming the best version of yourself, I want to offer you 3 months of free coaching with myself and my team. What that is, it's one-on-one coaching. There's nothing we're going to sell you once you win the coaching. There's nothing like that. And all I'm going to do is make a quick form. I'll need your name, your phone number, your email. That's how I contact you if you're the winner. So make sure that's accurate. And then I need a reason why, right? Why do you deserve to be the one that wins 3 months of free coaching? And that's how we're going to choose. So you guys drop your names there. We'll choose one winner. And Leah, I'll let you know who we choose so you can give them a shout out on the episode or do whatever you want.
Yeah, that sounds good. We'll just link the form in the show notes. So I know that sometimes certain platforms that you guys listen on, like things don't automatically link. So if you're looking for it, you're not seeing it in the show notes, go to the website, leahbrueggemann.com, and go to the podcast tab, go to this episode. And it will be there. We always link everything on the website as well, just because I don't know. Sometimes platforms are just weird.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for hopping on.
Thank you. This was great. I had fun.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Balancing Hormones Naturally. If you found this helpful, I would love for you to share it with a friend and post it on your stories and tag Balancing Hormones Naturally podcast so we can get this message out. You can find me on Instagram at Leah_BRUEG, and I would absolutely love to hear from you.